Welcome. My name is Mason, and this is Mace on Movies, episode 15 of my journey through Ghibli, which brings us to the maybe less beloved film in the Studio Ghibli collection, and that is Tales from Earthsea. The Japanese title is Gedo Senki, which means Ged's War Chronicles, and it is based on the first four books of Ursula K. Le Guin's Earthsea series, and those four books are A Wizard of Earthsea, The Tombs of Atuan, The Farthest Shore, and Tehanu. And, you know, this is a series of books that the author really did not want adapted into an animated form, and Miyazaki Hayao had been attempting to adapt these films for some time, trying to persuade the author to give them the rights to adapt it to film. And ultimately, it wasn't until Miyazaki Hayao won the Academy Award for Spirited Away that the author finally became interested in having this film adapted by Studio Ghibli, specifically by Miyazaki Hayao. However, Miyazaki Hayao was busy with Howl's Moving Castle, and so the project was actually handed off to his son, Gorō Miyazaki, who this was his first time directing a feature film. So a very interesting kind of series of events led to the creation of this film. And, you know, Miyazaki Hayao was concerned, did not agree with the decision by Studio Ghibli to let his son Gorō direct this film. He thought that his son was inexperienced, and ultimately was actually unsatisfied with the final product of his son, basically saying, you know, after he watched the film for the first time, his initial reaction to the film was that he said he was looking at his kid. He's not an adult yet. That is all. So that was Miyazaki's reported response to watching a private screening of this film, which is it's pretty sad, you know, to have, I mean, I can't imagine the pressure on Gorō Miyazaki to, you know, try to live up to the legacy of his father, who is one of the great, you know, anime film directors of all time. He's an absolute legend. And I think that it's interesting to me looking at this film and the other films that Gorō has done for Studio Ghibli. He also did the most recently released film, which was, I think it was called Earwig and the Witch, or something along those lines. And, you know, that is another film. That film and this film are the only two films that have been released, by Studio Ghibli that have a rotten score, on Rotten Tomatoes, that have less than stellar reviews, because usually something comes out from Studio Ghibli, it's generally beloved. And it's sad to see that Miyazaki Hayao's son Gorō, has been behind the two films that have been the least well-received by critics and by audiences in general. So the very interesting production behind this film. It's sad to see, because you want, you know, when you're looking at the kind of passing of the baton from father to son, you really want to see that, you know, be a smooth transition. You want to see the son live up to the legacy of his father. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like that has been the case so far with Gorō Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli. But I hope that, you know, he continues to, you know, grow as a filmmaker. I hope that he's given more opportunities. I hope that he continues to learn from his father. And I hope that we get to see better work from him in the future. But I do have to agree that this film, of all of the Studio Ghibli films that I've seen so far, this being the 15th one, it is very clearly visually inferior to other efforts by Studio Ghibli. There's just a very weird blend. It has some beautiful landscapes. It has some beautiful, you know, architecture design, but the character design just looks weirdly cheap, and really kind of bizarrely disjointed with the beauty of the landscapes around the characters. And so you see, like, some effort has gone into this film, into, you know, the background and creating this world. But when it came to the actual characters, it was actually, in my opinion, distractingly bad when we got around to the character design, that I was at times so distracted by just the cheap look of the characters and sometimes the animals or the vehicles that they were using. It took me out of the film to the point where I almost struggled to understand what was going on, because I was just mentally distracted by the look of the film. And that's not something that you expect to happen when you are watching a Studio Ghibli film. They are known for their excellence in animation. So it really threw me off. It, you know, kind of reminded me, you know, when I first started doing these with Miyazaki Hayao's earlier efforts, there was a clear kind of disparity, I guess, between the vehicles and the character design. I did point that out earlier, but it was never so obviously disjointed to be distracting. And that's what I felt in this film, that it was so distracting. The dragons look beautiful. The landscapes look beautiful, but the characters just look oddly, and their movement was just kind of stiff. And so there's just a weird design happening in this film. And obviously that doesn't come down necessarily to Goro Miyazaki, because the director does not necessarily design every character. You know, they have artists that do that work, but he was responsible, I think, to some extent, for approving these designs and kind of leading these two elements to come together. So very strange. It was very strange for me to look at a Ghibli film and think, wow, that doesn't look very good. I was surprised. And then the other kind of issue that I have going along this journey of the story, and the story, by the way, kind of follows Prince Eren as he has killed his father and gone on the run. He comes across a slave named Theru, who is being attacked by soldiers. He rescues her, and then he is ultimately enslaved, but he is freed by a wizard or archmage named Sparrowhawk, who brings them to a house where he is able to kind of rest and recover. It kind of focuses on that relationship between the archmage Sparrowhawk, Theru, Prince Eren, and then the owner of the house that they stay at, and that is Tenar. So you know, we've got this journey where at the beginning of this film, we see one dragon, we see the black dragon kill the white dragon, and the world is thrown into an imbalance. And shortly after that, that's when Prince Eren kills his father and goes on the run with his father's sword, which he cannot open. It's been sealed by magic, which is a big kind of focus of the film. And then, you know, it's said that they're trying to restore the balance of the earth, which has been, you know, the world used to be united, but men have begun to seek their own interests and follow their own greed. And that is why the world is falling apart, which is a powerful theme. It's a theme that we see a lot in Studio Ghibli works, especially by Goro's father, Hayao Miyazaki. You know, we've seen a lot of stories of the destruction of human greed, and it leads to, we're told that there's an imbalance, that crops are dying, that all these things are happening, but we don't actually see it. And I feel like that's one of the issues of the film. Like, we see one dragon kill another dragon, we hear that things are bad, but we don't actually explore the state of the kingdom. I feel like we didn't get to actually see or feel the destruction that has been caused by the greed of humans. And it turns out that a lot of this imbalance is actually being caused by a warlock named Cobb, who is seeking the door to eternal life. And so this pursuit for eternal life is what is throwing the rest of the world into an imbalance. It's causing chaos. And it's kind of up to Sparrowhawk and Prince Eren and Theru to try and stop Cobb from what he is attempting to do. And so that's kind of the journey of the film. And there's also, you know, there's also a head slaver named Hare, who is the one who Prince Eren initially comes into conflict with. He's trying to take Theru and Aaron stops him. So he's in the mix as well. So we've got Hare, the head slaver. We've got Cobb, the maniacal warlock. Then we've got Tenar, Sparrowhawk's friend, who has the home that they're staying at. Sparrowhawk is the archmage who's trying to do the right thing. Theru is the girl who was a burn victim, who was rescued from the slavers by Prince Aaron. So that's the general gist of the story. And I feel like when you have all of these elements, you have a kingdom descending into chaos and conflict. You have crops dying, you have dragons killing one another. You know, all of that sounds amazing. Sounds like a wonderful story. But the way that this story was carried out was very slow and very, like I said, they tell us things are happening, but we don't really see them. And we kind of focus on the inner conflict of Prince Aaron, who's killed his father, and going on this journey, which is great. It's great to explore that inner conflict, but I felt like there were a lot of disparate kind of threads that were not fully woven together to tell a satisfying story. So that was my issue with the film overall. Was like, it was over, and I was kind of bored throughout the entire journey. There were moments of action that were meant to be exciting, but I never felt like the action, you know, I didn't feel like the action had greater purpose. I just felt like it was there to kind of be exciting, and then we move on. And so, you know, I just didn't feel like, usually you're emotionally invested in the action because you know what the conflict is. And I felt like the struggle of the story is that I didn't always know what the conflict was. And I didn't always know why these different sides were fighting. And it does ultimately get explained in the end. But even at the end, I was confused, like, what is the story that they were attempting to tell? Because at the end of it, I was like, okay, you know, cool. Like, I don't know what any of this really meant, except that the world was in chaos that we didn't see. And now apparently the world has been healed, but we don't really see that. It's meant to be symbolized by the dragons. So I guess spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the film, at the end of the film, we find out that Theru, this girl who was supposedly a burn victim, was actually the Black Dragon, which is a very interesting twist, but it just kind of happens at the end of the film. And we're assumed to mean that that's like the thumbs up, like everything's okay because she's a dragon again. And she sees the other dragons flying. We're like, okay, everything's cool now. I just felt like it just wasn't a very well-told story. So when we got to the end of it, I just didn't know why I should be satisfied or happy with the result, other than obviously, you know, the evil warlock is unsuccessful. So that's obviously a good thing. But I just didn't know what it meant for the greater story of the kingdom or the world. And I guess that's the challenge of adapting four novels into one two-hour movie. Like, that's a gigantic task. I don't know why you would do that. You know, that's a lot of material to cut down. And, you know, some of the reaction to this film by the author who created this book was like, that's not my story. Like, and so that's kind of interesting to hear. Like, the author, when she sat down and watched this film, said, those are not my books. Like, that's not the story that I told. It's an interesting movie. Like, congratulations on making your movie. But those were not my books on the screen. So apparently, this film is kind of an all-around dud, where it didn't satisfy, like, Goro did not please his father. He did not really satisfy the author whose story he was trying to tell. He didn't satisfy critics or audiences. And I feel bad for the guy. Because if this is your first directorial effort, to kind of land on your face this hard, it's tough. And so I don't enjoy, you know, giving a negative take on a film. I usually try to be pretty positive on the films that I watch, but it was just really hard to invest in this film emotionally. It was hard to connect with the story. It was hard to understand what was going on. I just felt like it was, like I said, the animation was weird. The story was unsatisfying. And that's my general take on the film. And I guess that another reference point for this film, in addition to those four novels, was Miyazaki Hayao's manga series, The Journey of Shuna. So I guess that a lot of the plot, a lot of the different elements were actually also taken from Goro's father's manga story. So I think that he was really trying to please his father, but I think that ultimately it didn't work out that way. And that's unfortunate. So, you know, I'm glad that I got to see this film and understand why it wasn't that well received. It was nominated for a couple of awards, but, you know, it in America, we have the Academy Awards and we have the Razzies. And where the Razzies are, we kind of nominate films for the worst film of the year, worst director of the year. And so Goro Miyazaki was actually given Japan's Bunshun Raspberry Award for worst director. And Tales from Earthsea was given the award for worst movie at the end of 2006 when this came out. So, you know, all around, not a success. And it's unfortunate because I think that there is some mythology, there's some material in these books that would be really interesting to adapt. And I guess that Studio Ghibli eventually did do like a motion comic version of the Tales of Earthsea, which I haven't looked for that yet. I don't know if that was more successful or anything like that. But, you know, like I said, Rotten Tomatoes, it says 43%. I think it's actually dipped down to like 36 or 37%. And then based on 40 reviews, the average rating was 5 out of 10. On Metacritic, it's a 47 out of 100 based on 11 reviews. So not well reviewed, not well received, which is unfortunate because Studio Ghibli is known for its excellence. Goro Miyazaki's father, Hayao Miyazaki, is a legendary director. And I don't know, sometimes you feel the pressure of living up to that legacy. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But unfortunately, yeah, this just wasn't overall very well received. And it, you know, it's unfortunate to hear that even his father didn't have confidence in the decision, to let him direct it. So yeah, it's unfortunate. But before I wrap up my thoughts on this film, I do want to mention the voice cast that was involved. So we have Bunta Sugawara as Ged, or Sparrowhawk, who's the Archmage, and he was voiced by Timothy Dalton in the English dub. We've got Junichi Okada as Prince Eren, or his true name Lebanon, and that was voiced by Matt Levin in the English dub. We have Aoi Teshima as Blair, as Theru, and Blair Restaneo as the English dub version of her. And then we've got Jun Fubuki as Tenar, and Mariska Hargitay as the English voice there. And then we've got Yuko Tanaka as Cobb, the evil warlock, and Willem Dafoe does the voice in the English dub. That'd be really interesting to hear. We've got Teruyuki Kagawa as Hare, who's Cobb's head slaver. And interestingly enough, we have Cheech Marin in the English dub doing that voice. So those are the voice cast. Wanted to mention them before I wrap up my thoughts on this film. I would encourage you to check it out and see what you think of it. You know, it's just under 2 hours, so it's not, you know, not too long. And I think it's worth seeing just to compare it to the other Studio Ghibli stuff that's out there. If you like it, if you enjoy it, let me know. I think that, mixed reviews, it just didn't land well for me overall. It's down at the bottom. The only film that I enjoyed less than this was Ocean Waves, so far in my Studio Ghibli journey. So this is not the lowest ranked film in my ranking. It's second to last. But like I said, you can let me know what you thought of this if you've seen it on Twitter and Instagram at Mace on Movies. And then if you're enjoying the podcast, check out the other stuff I'm doing. Subscribe, leave a rating, leave a comment, share it with your friends and family, all of that wonderful stuff. But I hope that wherever you are, you're doing well. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. Take care of yourself physically and mentally. And let's remember to be kind to one another. Thanks, everybody.